So once there was a criminal who had committed a crime. I mean, go figure. It's a criminal. That's what they do. Anyways, he was sent to the king for his punishment. The king told him that he had a choice of two punishments. He could be hung by a rope or take what's behind this big, dark, scary, mysterious door behind him. The criminal quickly decided on the rope. As the noose was being strapped around his neck, he turned to the king and asked, "By the way, out of curiosity, what's behind the door?" The king laughed and said, "You know, it's funny, I offer the same choice to everyone, and almost everyone picks the rope." So the criminal said, "Well, tell me, what's behind the door? I mean, obviously I'm not going to tell anyone with the noose around his neck." So the king paused and answered, "Freedom." But it seems that most people are so afraid of the unknown that they immediately take the rope. This is a little excerpt from the book, How to Be Happy, D-A-M-M-I-T, if you can spell, I couldn't say the last word, but How to Be Happy, from Oprah Winfrey is the author of this book, which leads me to the title of my sermonette message for Pentecost here, which is Afraid to Fear. Afraid to Fear. So what does it mean to fear God? If you've been in the church for any length of time, you have either heard a message on the topic or you are very familiar with this phrase. The phrase, fear the Lord, is mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. It's actually kind of closer to 400 times. But what does it mean? Is it a scary fear or is it a respectful fear? Are we scared of God? Does God scare us into obedience to him? Responsively, we would say, no, of course not. Not my God. Throughout the entire book of Proverbs, Psalms, and Ecclesiastes, we are given multiple examples and reminders of how important the fear of the Lord is. From the very beginning of Proverbs chapter 1, where it states that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, all the way to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and 13, where it states that the fear of the Lord is man's all. So it seems that this type of fear is related to a reverence type of understanding, where we respect God in his all and his authority and his power. But does this type of fear come without fear itself? Meaning, if we truly fear the Lord in obedience to him, then does that mean we are fearless in our journey with God? I'm talking about the type of fear that you experience when you fear the Lord. The fear of what might happen to you in the world if you obey God. The fear of keeping God's commandments, even though it might impact your life in a horrible way. Even the fear of being locked out of the kingdom if we do not follow God. The question is there ever a time when you're afraid of God? Is there ever a time when you're afraid to obey God because of the fear of what might happen to you? Not just from what others might do to you, but also what God might do to you or not do for you. Well, what could I possibly mean? So how about in the future, just as an example, how about in the future when Christ doesn't open the door to you? Talking about the time in Luke, we can turn there, the book of Luke chapter 13. We all know this pretty well. Chapter 13 and verse 25. And this is where Christ, in verse 25, he says, "When once the master of the house has risen up and the door is shut, and you begin to stand outside, knocking at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' and he will answer to you and say, 'I do not know you. Where are you from?' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.'" When we will knock on the door and Christ will answer and say, "I do not know you." The thought of your whole life interpretation of the truth was fake or incorrect, does that sound scary? Brethren, are you afraid that Christ could possibly say that to you? That's a type of fear. To tell someone, if you do not do this, there will be a consequence. If you disobey me, you will miss out. The fear exists because you know if you don't get real with God, then you will be locked out. Think about it for a second. Will any of you go to work on the Sabbath? Will any of you intentionally eat bread on the days of unleavened bread? Will any of you intentionally take the Lord's name in vain? No, probably not. Why? Well, the first answer is God tells us in the Bible not to do these things, right? So what? Why does he tell us to do these things? And why do you do these things? Is it because you're afraid that God will strike you down if you go to work on the Sabbath? Or are you afraid that if you do not practice these things, one day you will knock and the door will not open to you? I have to say, brethren, that belief and that behavior is driven by a type of fear. The fear of consequence, the fear of separation, the fear of missing out, even the fear of punishment. So the climax of my message is that it is scary to fear the Lord. Consider your own experiences in life where your belief, your faith, and your commitment to God was challenged by fear. It can be as little as admitting to someone that you go to church on Saturday instead of the traditional Sunday. If you've been in church for a long time, that's probably not that big of a deal to you. But if you're new to the church and you're trying to understand the gospel, that can be something that's very scary to you. How that changes your life, that commitment of going to church on the Sabbath as opposed to the traditional Sunday, if you're new to that, that has an impact of fear on you. Even with family, it can be a devastating commitment. How many of us in here know someone who has been called into the faith, but not their spouse? They're trying to keep God's commandments and observe this way of life, and their spouse tries to stop them. I'm sure we all have stories. I'm sure we all know people. Their spouse gets in the way, or their spouse and their family makes it difficult for them to keep this new calling. Brethren, that can be stressful, that can be difficult and damaging, and most of all, it can be scary. Not scary because of the situation at home, which I'm sure that's scary. I mean, it's scary to fear God with reverence and combat the challenges of this world. Literally, just open the book of Proverbs, any chapter you like, and you'll probably find a scripture quoting the fear of the Lord. This is what the quote fear of the Lord means. It means that when you're up against the challenges of this world that face against you and your belief in the truth, and you make the choice to stand up for what you believe in, that's where you can experience the fear. Not the fear of the God, fear of the Lord, as we read in the Bible, but the fear of what might happen to you when you try and obey God. That fear, brethren, is very real. That fear comes first. I can actually remember when I was a teenager, you know, right before COVID, and I can remember going to my teacher in a classroom full of kids and telling her in confidence that I couldn't participate in the Christmas project, and then her intentionally saying out loud so everyone could hear, "What, Eric, you don't keep Christmas?" Just so that way everyone could hear. And then me noticing everyone in the class looking at me as if I was strange or weird. Just the facial expressions alone on everyone's face was enough for me to see that they thought that I was betraying Jesus Christ for not celebrating his birthday. So, brethren, for a young person, that can be scary, that transition, to stand up for that, to make that move, that can be scary. To admit that you believe in something when you're that young that you cannot physically touch, see, and physically communicate with is scary. It's almost like telling a story of an imaginary friend. In this example I'm giving, you're not scared that God will strike you down if you participate in a Christmas project. You're not scared of that. What are you scared of? Are you scared of betraying God? Maybe, but he doesn't really hold any grudges. Really, you're scared of betraying yourself. In that moment, you're afraid of who you are and what you believe in. And I can tell you, I have plenty of experiences where I'm afraid of what I believe in. I've been afraid of what keeping the Sabbath might do to my job, my family, and my friends. I remember what keeping the Sabbath did to my job, my family, and my friends. I've been afraid of even tithing and offering, what it'll do to my income. I've actually not given tithes and offerings before because of the fear of not having enough money for the rest of the week. I've done that plenty of times. Brethren, to believe in God and obey God is a challenging way of life. If you're afraid to give an offering because you won't have enough money for anything later on, then don't. Don't give anything to God in which you're ashamed of. How many messages have we heard that God doesn't need your money? I mean, how many holy days are there in a year? We've heard it a lot, right? So don't give anything if you're more afraid of what might happen to you instead of what you believe in. If it's your belief that you're having trouble with, if that's the part that's weak, then pray for more belief. Don't pray for more money. He doesn't want your money. He wants your belief. He wants your attention. One of my favorite stories of reference in the Bible to remind us of what this looks like is actually in Daniel 3, and we can turn there to Daniel chapter 3. Very, very famous story. You'll all recognize it. This is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? So, you know, we all know the story very well, but those who are listening, if you don't know, just super fast recap. So King Nebuchadnezzar makes this amazing, you know, gold image of himself and all the people he rules over. He makes them bow down and worship this golden image, you know, several times a day. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, men of God, said no. You know, said, no, we will not bow down. We serve and worship only the Lord our God. And if you throw us into the fiery furnace, you know, he will deliver us, right? And then what happens, King Nebuchadnezzar throws them in the fiery furnace, and then God saves them, pulls them out of the furnace, and we all kind of know the story, and that part's amazing that God saves them. But that's actually not the most amazing part of the story, where God saves them and they don't burn up alive. Even the bonds are burnt, but they're not burnt, and they come out alive. That's not the amazing part. We all know that God can do that. We all know God that can save us. He can deliver us from evil. We know that. The amazing part is what happened before, what they said before they were thrown into the fiery furnace. So we're going to read it right here, so that's why I can bring you up to what I'm referring to. But in verse 16 of Daniel 3, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered to the king and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our Lord, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. And this is the most important part of the entire story in verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O God, that we do not serve your gods, nor we will worship the golden image which you have set up. Even if he doesn't save us, we still believe and we will not kneel. They said that before they were thrown into the fire. They said that against the unknown. Their actions were not based upon God, what God would do for them or do to them. Their actions were based upon what they believed and who they were. Brethren, do we have that kind of courage to stand up for what we believe in when we're faced against the world or when we're faced against the temptations against ourselves? If tithing and giving offerings hurts you financially and you're stressing and worrying about it, should I do it or shouldn't I do it, then why do you do it anyways? Do you give based upon the outcome, like, oh, I'm going to give, but I hope God blesses me later, you know, or do you give because you truly believe in it? If a spouse tells you that you, if you do not stop believing in this way of truth, or I will leave you, kick you out of the house, or take all your money, will you have the courage to stand up for what you believe in, even if God doesn't resolve the issue for you? Just because you can comprehend the interpretations in the Bible of faith and truth does not mean you're exempt from experiencing them. The fear of fearing God or obeying God is so real that the examples are all over the Bible. Take Abraham, for instance. Do you think he was fearless when God told him to sacrifice his son? Do you think Abraham was like, yeah, sure, I'll get him right now. He's over here playing. Let me go get him for you. Now, I'm pretty sure he was PO'd. He was very upset, and he was very scared. Actually, that reminds me of a story I had with a person a long time ago, a conversation on this exact subject with Abraham. I was talking to this gentleman, and I was telling him, like, can you imagine, you know, as a person, can you imagine if God came to you now and told you that, said, I want you to take one of your children and sacrifice them for me? Can you imagine doing that? And I told him, I wouldn't do it. There is no way. I was like, I don't have enough belief, enough faith. There is no way I would do that. And the individual I was talking to, without skipping a beat, was like, oh, I would. Right away, like his shining faith. I would totally do it. I would definitely do that for God. And as I'm standing there looking at this guy, knowing him, being 60 years old, a male, unmarried, and doesn't have any children, as I'm staring at him, I realize in that moment, you know, no judgment, just a careful observation, no judgment on him, but his faith, his fear of the Lord was fake. It was that of a fluffy cloud. It wasn't real. To him, it might have been real, but it wasn't real. I mean, this talk with this person actually reminds me of another character in the Bible. I call him Eager Peter, but it's Eager, you know, Eager Peter, the Apostle Peter. I call him Eager Peter because, just an example real quick on the account of the last night where Christ, in the Last Supper, Christ is explaining to the disciples that he's about to be betrayed, arrested, beaten, and then killed, and tells them, and after that, you will all fall away. What does Eager Peter say? He stands up right away and says, I will not fall away, my Lord. I will follow you even to death. And we know a few hours later what happened, right? As quick as Peter's eagerness to show his faith was just as quick as he lost it. But why? Because of that fear. In that moment, when Peter denied Christ, he realized that the fear was more real than his faith. But did God strike Peter down at that moment? Probably a good opportunity to do so. He just denied his son right there in flesh, right? But no, he didn't. Why? Because God knows that you have to feel and experience that fear in order to achieve a greater understanding of truth. You have to. Brethren, there are no shortcuts. You can't just believe and keep God's commandments and have a smooth ride into the kingdom. You have to be challenged in order for your belief and your faith to grow. You have to experience the fear of obeying and serving God, the fear that it takes to do that in order to fear the Lord. Brethren, this fear of the Lord is so real that even Christ experienced it. On that exact same night, after the account with Peter, when Christ went to the garden to pray and he was about to be taken, what did he say? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Why did he say that? Because he felt the fear. And brethren, it still didn't end there. What did Christ say right before he died on the cross? Father, why have you forsaken me? Although there are many references to this scripture, why did Christ say this? Fear. He felt that fear. The fear that makes us human. A fear that is only conquered by courage. So, brethren, in closing, we're going to jump over to Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." God tells us hundreds of times in the Bible to not be afraid. He doesn't tell us that because we're fearless. He tells us that because we will be afraid. And when we're afraid, he tells us that, remember, in that moment of fear, he is with you.